Hello and welcome to Pinot and Perfume. I am your host, Sarah Chacon, back, refreshed, and freshly tan. I actually did tan from Cancun, Mexico. Now, I mean, I'm small potatoes. I already posted on my Instagram that I went to Mexico, but in case anybody adds me, it was COVID compliant. We got tested, no COVID. I stayed at a hospital. The hotel took all the necessary precautions to ensure that it was safe, and we had a freaking blast. So this was my husband's and my first time at an all-inclusive resort. Safe to say, we got spoiled. It was just nice not having to budget for food while on vacation, because you already paid for it up front when you booked the hotel. The only thing you had to worry about was, you know, money for tips, souvenirs, and any excursions that you wanted to do, which was not, obviously, those were extra. We did go on an excursion. We went to Chichen Itza, which is like a Mayan city on the Yucatan Peninsula. And we saw, you know, the Mayan temple. That's like the big, there's a bunch of other buildings and things too there, but the big draw is that huge Mayan temple we saw. It was super cool. There's also like a huge quote unquote basketball. Well, it's a gym court, but apparently these mofos played a primitive form of basketball. I forget what it's called. My husband knows what it is, but the hoops, instead of the basketball hoops we know and love, are actually on the side. So instead of like facing out towards the shooter of the ball, it's parallel, like it's hooked on the side. And basically the 6 foot tall dudes, because I guess those were like the tallest people in the Mayan society, would play this game with what amounts to medicine balls, where the goal would be to get the ball through the hoop. You couldn't use your hands, so I guess you could use anything else. It sounded pretty intense. It sounded like a lot of prone to injuries, but interesting, like kind of cool to know that there's like some version of basketball that was around that long ago. There's an observatory over there. They're a really advanced society. Unfortunately, you know, an advanced society who got wiped the fuck out by the Spanish conquistadors, but you know what, we're not going to go into that. But yeah, it was super cool. After, it was hot as shit. I think it was, my husband pulled up the weather, 104 degrees, felt like 109. Luckily after the temple, because there's no shade over there, we did go swim in a sinkhole, which was basically a natural spring just deep in the ground. Super, super cool. Pictures of those are on my Instagram at Pinot Perfume, shameless plug. But the most surprising aspect of the trip was that it has turned my husband into a tropical vacationing man, whereas before he was not. He does not like water. He had, unfortunately, had a near drowning accident when he was a younger man surfing. And so ever since then, he stayed away from water. But he did love the all-inclusive resort. By the end of the trip, he was in the pool with the rest of us, having a good time, drinking it up, like you name it. He was all about that life. And so now he's talking about wanting to be one of those couples that go cruising when we retired, wanting to go back to the all-inclusive resort. I'm just like, who is this man? Who is this man that I married? But I love it. Like, don't get me wrong. I love it. I have always wanted to do the tropical vacation where it's like, you have the best of both worlds. You have the option to go out and do stuff if that's what you want, but you also have the option to just relax either on the pool, on the beach, or at the pool, if that's what you want to. Like, I like having options. And we did a little bit of both. And you know what? It was nice. Our hotel had a swim out room. So you go out the back patio and you had your own little private pool area that you could just hop down in, which was nice. It's not that we were a super huge walking distance from the main pool, but it was nice, like, because it was hot as shit. I spent most of the days in my bathing suit anyway. And it was nice to come in and not have to walk to the pool. You could just go and take a dip and cool off right there at your hotel room. Anyway, super relaxed. I love it. I want to go back. Already, I want to go back. Surprising, I got a tan. Now, I don't really go. I mean, if you couldn't tell, obviously, I am a white woman. I don't post a lot of pictures of myself on my social media. Primarily because I can't take a good photo. And it's not, and I'm not being downing on how I look. I think that how you look, your physical attractiveness has no bearing on whether or not you can take a good photo, because I have seen some people who are might be considered plain Janes or whatever take fire photos. I just never bothered to learn like the angles, how to perfect it, how to, you know, like work my facial expressions to take a halfway decent photo. So all the photos I take of myself, not gonna lie, like I look like I have something wrong with me. Or I look, it's just not flattering, But I'm very fair skinned and usually I burn. And so we were really diligent about applying sunscreen, reapplying sunscreen, and your girl ended up getting a tan. I got the tan lines from the bathing suit. And it's not just freckles, because I do freckle. And from a distance, the freckles do look like a tan, but the skin between the freckles is 100% tan, and I'm loving this look. So I got to remember to keep up my fake tan, because now that I'm back home, I'm not going out. We don't have a pool at our house or anything. So I'm not going to be out in the sun as much, and I got to keep this glow. I got to keep it. A point for me in personal growth. So as you know, I have been on a low buy kick, when it comes to fragrance for this year. My husband and I had a heart to heart. He was like, you impulse purchase way too many perfumes. You've got a shit ton of perfumes already. You don't need any more. We're trying to save up, adult things, saving up for retirement, trying to save up, you know, have a nest egg, things like that. Like things that you just do because you're a goddamn adult. And he's like, you need to cut back. And so I have been cutting back. And now that I'm out of that cycle, because I do think it's a cycle when you get into impulse spending. Not that I was terrible. Like I wasn't racking up credit cards. We'd never gotten to credit card debt with it or anything like that. I wasn't spending like hundreds of thousands of dollars. But yeah, perfume is a luxury. And I already have, for me, quite a large collection, so I don't really need more. And so I was like, yeah, you're right. So I've bought my fragrance of, the only full bottle I have bought was my fragrance of the day, which I will review in the next segment, and some samples. And that's pretty much it. And now that I haven't bought perfume for a while, I don't have as much of the urge to buy perfume. And so I've just really been enjoying my collection. Nothing that I have perfumes that I quote unquote want, but nothing that I really need to get right now that it's like driving me to purchase. So my husband was very surprised when today, randomly, he's like, buy a perfume. Make sure it's like $30 or under. Yeah, you can buy a perfume. And I grabbed my laptop and I started looking on FragranceNet and Fragrance X. And the ones that I would have gotten were above the $30 mark, not by much. I'm sure I probably could have made a case for it, but what it amounts to is that I don't really have a huge desire to buy a perfume right now. Surprised me too, because I'm just like, wow, my husband's giving me the carte blanche to go out and purchase a perfume. And I don't have a desire to do that right now. And so I told him I was going to hold off. And he was like, that's good. That's growth. And I'm just like, what is wrong with me? Is this what growing up is? You know, like, is this Am I a more evolved creature? I don't know, but I thought it was strange. I was like, what? Like, cause I would have loved like a couple months ago, like back in January, had my husband said, go ahead and buy a perfume. It's fine. I would have jumped at the chance. And to now I'm just like, you know, eventually if I see something that I really, really want, I'll, you know, I may get it, but there's nothing that it's like I'm jonesing for. Even the dupes, because I thought about buying samples from Fragranza for Rose Prick and Oud Satin Mood, because I really did both like those fragrances when I sampled them, the, you know, much pricier design versions. And I've heard that Fragrinza is a good clone house, but I didn't even have the desire to buy the samples. And part of that is I already have samples that I'm trying to get through. That's what a lot of these reviews, with the exception of today, today's are going off of samples that I have purchased. Cause I don't want, ultimately, I don't like a lot of clutter and I don't want a lot of small vials taking up space. So I have plenty for me that I'm, you know, slowly making my way through. And then once that's done, I will get more. But yeah, look at this bitch growing, right? That's crazy. But anyway, enough about me. Let's get into Sin of the Week. All right, so this week's scent of the week, which I only wore, I mean, I've been wearing it since I purchased it earlier this year, but didn't wear it for the full week since I was in Mexico from Monday through Wednesday. I came home Wednesday. Anyway, but I have been wearing it a few days since. I feel confident enough to review it. It is Jessica Simpson's Fancy. Also, didn't plan this, also wearing some lounge pants that Jessica Simpson from the Jessica Simpson brand that I got at Costco. Highly recommend. I don't know if it would be considered lounge or resort wear. I think it could go both ways. Super, super comfy and light fabric and not form-fitting, you know, just the easy breezy walk on the beach type of pant. But enough about the pants. So this was a fragrance I had been waffling on for a long time. I have, as longtime listeners, or if you just have happened to read my first impression about Fancy, I have fallen in love with caramel over the last year. I think it's probably my number one favorite note in a perfume. No, I think rose is still my number one favorite note. Caramel might be tied, or a super close second. Marshmallow third, but I really love caramel. So I'm already intrigued by anything with caramel in it. My gateway drug to caramel was actually Changing Constants from Penhaligon's. That is a kind of a spicy, or I would say like a spicy oriental, but there is a note of salted caramel in there that sweetens it up, and it's so delicious. I bought the bottle from fragrancebuy.ca. No regrets, love it. And since then, I have expanded to other caramels. I got Bon Bon Couture, which again, highly recommend. Love it, love it, love it. And I think that's my only other caramel one outside of Fancy. And so, but anyway, I've heard about the caramel note on Fancy, but despite this being like a quote unquote cheap in price celebrity scent, I didn't want to just blind buy it because of the whole, and the, you know, in the intro I mentioned trying to do better about blind buying, and I wasn't sure how prominent the caramel note was because I had read some reviews that it wasn't that prominent. But then I saw a video from Bougie Fragrance. She's one of my favorite fragrance YouTube reviewers. It's just a good time. She and her husband, photography guy, have a really good rapport, and she loves fragrance. I mean, it's, you can see it in her face. Like, she just loves fragrance. And I still want to go to her house and play around with her fragrance shelf and all of that. But she picked up Fancy for, she got the 30 mil from her Ross for like $8. And she loved it because she wasn't sure what to expect either, you know, because, you know, celebrity scents don't have the greatest connotation as being like super good, you know, being like high-end perfumes or like quality perfumes. But she was super surprised. She raved about it. And that's what kind of sent me over, that's what kind of tipped my opinion to go like, all right, I'm going to go to Ross or Nordstrom Rack and see if I can find this perfume for a good price. I'm going to pick it up because it's $8. You can't beat it. If I don't like it or if it's meh, I can give it to my sister, whatever. I'm not out a whole bunch of money. So Nordstrom Rack, the day that I went, did have the 100 ml bottle of Fancy for $24.97. I still was like, despite that being super cheap, I was like, I'm looking for the 30 ml again, trying to be responsible. in my perfume purchase. And I've got a ton of 100 mils. Like I've got, I think now my collection, I did get rid of a few minis that I gave to my sister for her birthday, in addition to like a gift that I actually did buy her. And then I used up a mini on vacation, and then I lost another mini on vacation. So I'm down now to probably like, I'd say like, I don't know, like 30 some-ish bottles of perfume. But that's all to say, you know, I've got a ton that I still got to go through. So I didn't want to buy a 100 ml bottle of a perfume. I wasn't sure if I would even like, despite the price. So then I went to Ross and saw the 30 ml. Mine was a little bit more expensive than Bougie Fragrance. Mine was $12.97. So $13, but still, I was like, I'm going to pick this up and see what it's all about. I am pleasantly surprised because this is a delightful little fragrance. Let's get into the notes. So your top notes are pear, apricot, and red fruits. Your middle notes are caramel, roasted almond, gardenia, and jasmine. And your bottom notes are amber, vanilla, and sandalwood. Now, when I first sprayed this, I got hit with the florals, and then it had to sit on my skin for a minute for the caramel to start coming through. And then once the caramel came through, it was just this, I mean, the floral was pretty, but once the caramel became more prominent, it was just this delicious, delicious floral, sweet fragrance. A little bit lighter than Bon Bon Couture, which I think makes it good for like spring, summer. Although some reviewers that I have read and watched like also like this for fall and winter. Now that I have worn it more and spray it, the caramel comes out almost immediately. So I don't know if it's one of those deals with new perfume bottles where you have to spray it a couple times for the whole scent to start to like manifest itself or what, but it's good. Like I'm not disappointed with the caramel note. It's there. I can smell it. It's lighter than, you know, Bon Bon Couture. If you have smelled, if you're familiar with that fragrance, or I would say any of Victor and Roth fragrances, because I feel like they're all kind of powerhouses. Maybe that's just me, but, you know, it's, especially Bon Bon Couture is a little bit heavier, which is why that's my fall winter scent. This is a little bit lighter, but it's not as light as Changing Constants from Penhaligon's, if you're familiar with that. Or any Penhaligon's fragrance. While I love the fragrance, while I love Changing Constants, that's my one gripe with that fragrance and Penhaligon's in general, is that their scents do not last that long. On me, Changing Constants lasts for 4 hours, and it is a little bit lighter once it settles on a skin. Not a skin scent, but a little bit lighter. Fancy is in between both of those. It's like a perfect medium fragrance for longevity. It'll get you through a work day. If you were wanting to wear it out, you would have to reapply. So I would say on me, I can get like 5-6 hours from it. And then I would have to reapply. Projection, it's not bad. I'll say like 45 minutes to an hour projection. And then it's like an arm's length. So it's not like a beast mode, but it's not a super skin scent either. It's a good, I keep seeing it come up in reviews, but it's a good casual everyday gourmand. If you are someone who likes a signature scent and you like caramel and you don't want something like too overwhelming, I think this is a really good option. I don't find this to be sickeningly sweet. I don't find it to be, I mean, it's sweet, but I don't find it to be so sweet that it's nauseating, just because I think it's a good balance of the florals with the caramel. It's well blended. It does a really good job of blending that all out. Some reviewers on Fragrantica says that it's screechy. I don't know what the hell screechy is. If someone could enlighten me, please do. I think it's sweet. I think it's just like a sweet, everyday, great gourmand, affordable gourmand fragrance. And I don't think it smells cheap. Like, I don't think it smells like if you were to put this in like a Dolce & Gabbana label or any sort of designer label, I would believe it. Like, it doesn't smell cheap. It smells really well blended, and surprisingly got depth for just a Jessica Euphoria celebrity perfume. Much like, as my friend Jenna pointed out, Jessica Simpson's autobiography, if you have not read it, highly encourage you to do so. Surprising amount of depth. So I really, really like this. I think it's a joy. Once I run out of this 30, I think I did pick up 30 mil. Once I run out of this, I will probably most likely buy the 100 mil because I know I like this perfume. But yeah, it's just a happy, light, not overwhelming, but not so light you can't smell it perfume. It's really good. It's a good middle of the road in terms of projection and longevity, smell, everything. A good middle of the road perfume, and you cannot beat the price. So I mentioned how much Bougie Fragrance paid and how much I paid. Just going online, the 3.4 ounce, the 100 mil is $25.99 on fragrancenet.com. On pharmapacks.com, I have not ordered from the site, so I cannot vouch for it, but it's $24.99, so it's the same price. Walmart's got $22.76. I'm not sure what the size is there. Amazon's got it for $24.99. So you're going to the large bottle, you're going to pay around $25. Any smaller versions are going to be less than that. It's not going to break the bank. If I think it's worth a blind buy, especially if you like caramel, I think you will like this. And if you don't, if it's just like, you know, you're only out $25 or less, you can give it to somebody. It's not like you spent money on like a 40, 50, 60, 70 plus fragrance and don't like it. I definitely think this is worth the check out. I think this is a fairly safe blind buy, especially if you like sweet, particularly caramel notes. And it's just a happy little fragrance. I love finding gems like this. I do. So definitely let me know if you have smelled this perfume, if you like it, if you don't like it, what you think about Fancy. All right, fragrance in the news. So again, it must have been a slow couple of news weeks. Both of these articles are from the Robb Report. And I'll be linked in the video, in the show notes. Jeez, in the show notes. So the first one is called Meet Amalfi, the perfume house that makes ultra luxurious and ultra expensive fragrances. Not to be confused with Amalfi, Almafi, as I believe that is a very affordable clone house. Amalfi. Let me just double check. Yeah, Amalfi is a... I am an idiot. I'm thinking of Amalfi. Anyway, it's not the affordable clone house that sounds very similar. Apparently, the lowest price on these colognes is like $2,800. And some go all the way up to like $7,000. There's one that sells for $7,100 called Glory for Men, which is a nuanced blend of cedar and ambrette. The reason these colognes are so expensive is because the company uses all natural ingredients, no synthetics, which can be very costly to harvest, and no alcohol. I think it's all oil, and I think they said it's like 40%. Let me look, maybe 20%. Hang on. Let's see. 20% concentration of pure perfume. So they don't sell eau de toilette. They don't have trial size testers. This is a commitment if you want any of these fragrances. I think that they do have travel sizes though. Apparently, the backstory is a little opaque. It's the Amalfi is named after someone called Madame Amalfi, who launched the fragrance company after her great grandmother, I guess, let her in on a perfume, on an old family secret about perfume making. Apparently, this said grandmother, it doesn't have the grandmother in particular. Apparently, Madame Amalfi's female ancestors, one of her female ancestors was working as a perfumer. Napoleon Bonaparte tapped her to work exclusively for him. She was then executed. He ordered her to be executed. She fled, renouncing perfume making forever. Nobody knows if that is true, but it's a very juicy backstory. So I don't even want it to be, I don't want to even know if that's not true or not. I'm going to prefer to believe that version of events, because probably the real backstory is probably very, very boring. So I like it. It's juicy. It's titillating. You know, who cares if it's real or not? But now it's here. And it is hella expensive. So there's several photos of the boutique, which is very luxe, very much like you obviously need money to shop here. But I guess apparently the salesperson who took this particular author through how everything, you know, the boutique, he asked the author just a couple of scents that the author wears. So instead of asking, you know, do you prefer citrus scents or woody or whatever, they asked the author for a couple of their favorite scents and made recommendations. And the author loved all of them. He was saying he was tempted by some, so I don't know how much the Robb Report pays or if this person is a trust fund baby, but to just, you know, just try and entertain the thought of buying something from here that's in the thousands of dollars, unless he's going into debt, is just a little, is a flex. I think it's a flex because it shows that you most likely have money or you're most likely willing to go into debt, you know, it's a toss up. But the bottles are very extravagant too, which is probably contributes to some of the price as well. But this author did say that the test strips he'd received during the visit were still potent. So it sounds like these perfumes do last, but you are going to pay a pretty penny. So I feel like if you're shopping here, it is a huge flex. I think it also begs the question of, at one point, what's the point where you stop? How much are you willing to pay for perfume? Because I feel like there's a certain price point for me where I won't go over. $200 is my limit. So anything under $200, I will be willing to pay for if I liked it enough. But I don't know if I would spend more than $200 on a fragrance. And even $200 and even in the $100 range is stretching it. Like, I'm going to have to really love this fragrance. Like, it's going to have to get me off or cook me dinner or something for me to spend that much money on it. But, and I guess if they are really using all natural ingredients, quality ingredients, which another thing that I'm not a tree hugger by any means, but it does beg the question, if you are sourcing and truly using all natural ingredients, how are you sourcing them? Like, are you using sustainable efforts? If any of your perfumes have musk, are you literally getting it from a deer's anus? Like, are you ethically doing that? Like, how do you do that? You know, raspberry, is that coming from the beaver's asshole? Like, are you killing beavers for this, or are you doing it with as humane, you know, in a humane way? That's where my mind goes. And this doesn't get into that. So I don't know if the backstory is opaque. I'm not sure how much their sustainability practices are available and transparent, but that's just my conclusion. I could be completely wrong. All right, the next article is kind of, it's interesting enough, not as interesting as the Amalfi Perfume House, but apparently it's It's called, is it called This Young Fragrance House or Young Fragrance House? Or no, it's not called anything. Jesus. It's called Cultus Artem, based out of San Antonio. And the founder and CEO and apparently jack of all trades, perfumer, productioner, you know, packaging person. Her name is Holly Tupper. I guess what sets her apart is that she does everything in her San Antonio studio, from creating the perfumes to packaging, production. I'm assuming shipping as well, which they bring out. That's what sets her apart, because most brands, I guess, independent and designer, just outsource the production part, but she does it all herself. She's a one-woman show. She has her thing with her perfumes is that, I guess, she doesn't like a lot of stuff that's on the designer market. I guess she thinks it smells bland and forgettable. So her perfumes are made of, according to this article, are made of stronger notes, very distinct notes. Her quote is, quote, "I wanted to make something for people who have made their minds up about who they are," end quote. She's got Tuberosa, which is a spicy floral. She's got Amara, which has orange, I guess it has heavy orange blossom in it. Alba's got magnolia and rose, and also some vegetal combinations. So it might be kind of green. You've got Ilex is a tea scent. And it also has jasmine and neroli. And then she has Vetiveria, which obviously is vetiver. It's got real Haitian vetiver, and it's got woods and something called lentisque. I don't know. But yeah, she's here. She's launching a luxury skincare range. So if you like indie or niche perfumers, and you also don't like, mainstream mass appealing fragrances, then you might want to check out Cultus Artem, their website, and see what they have to offer. That's it. That's it for fragrance in the news. Like I said, it was slow, so I tried to pick out the articles that seemed the most interesting to me, and hopefully to you. And that wraps up this week's episode of Pinot and Perfume. As always, thank you so much for listening. And thank you for your patience while I was out on vacation. I know there was no show last week. I mentioned that in my last episode that there would not be. I know you guys are all waiting with bated breath. That is sarcasm. But yeah, thanks for listening. If the spirit moves you, please like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. If you want to leave a rating, 5 stars preferably, but any rating I will take as long as it's honest and respectful. Thank you to those of you who have already left reviews and ratings. I think I'm 12 ratings. So we're growing. If you want to connect with me online, FragranceNet. Yeah. You can go to FragranceNet and buy me something. No, Instagram. I'm at Pinot and Perfume on there. On Peloton, which is just, if you just want to follow me, we can be workout buddies. I'm hashtag Pinot and Perfume there. My email, if you want to email the show, aka email me, Pinot and Perfume Podcast. Let me double check that. This is still a new Gmail account. Pinot and Perfume Podcast at gmail.com. That's where you can do that. And yeah, as always, thank you for listening. I hope that you are having fun, that you are being safe, but most importantly, that you are smelling good. Bye! Pinot and Perfume is hosted and produced by yours truly, Sarah Chacon. Theme music is Around the Bend by Evan Schaefer.